You are listening to PLV Radio Network. Join us in celebrating all of life's possibilities.
Welcome to Everyday Happiness, the Pajama Podcasts. I'm your host, Vicki McLeod, and I'm delighted to welcome you to this week's episode. I was really pondering what topic to bring forward for you this week. I've spent most of this month really in the territory of talking about really some key personal development tools is the way I'd put it. They're some of the elements in my coaching practice that I bring forward with just about every individual or group that I work with. And it occurred to me as I was pondering this morning, I'm up in my pajamas, I'm drinking my morning tea, and I was thinking about wanting to shift gears a little bit as we move into a new, I usually try to do the podcast kind of on a monthly basis or have monthly themes, and we're moving into a new month very soon here. I'm also leaving on a retreat this afternoon, and I'll be taking a digital detox, which I've talked about on previous episodes. And I'll be spending some time in stillness, in nature, doing some meditation, some mindful practices, writing by longhand, which is a practice I highly recommend, especially if you're trying to gain insight or awareness about a particular either thorny issue or problem, or just to kind of tap into what's going on for you, just as a snapshot in time. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think there's a way that we're all losing our ability to write longhand with being on devices so much and using keyboards and keypads rather than writing by hand. I don't know about you, but I notice myself when I go to write something, especially if it's anything lengthy, that it's almost like I've forgotten how. So I'm really I've been a writer for years and kept journals for years. So I'm really looking forward to diving, kind of revisiting, almost like revisiting an area that was a great comfort to me, a really nurturing area, for a couple of days. But what occurred to me as I was pondering is that there's a way I want to be able to offer a special kind of richness to businesses around this kind of content. And I've tended to characterize a lot of the podcast material around kind of how you're being personally in the world. I think that's really important. My friend Kat Stearns, a colleague of mine, said it's not business to business or business to consumer, it's people to people. So whether we use the acronyms B2B, B2C, she's saying it's neither of those, it's P2P, people to people. So at the end of the day, whether we're doing business, whether we're working in an organization, whether we're just supporting our families at home, whatever we're doing, it's individual people doing it. And so all of the principles, tools, and insights, hopefully, that I offer on the program really can be applied across the spectrum of, you know, sort of the totality of your life. I do a lot of corporate work, and these principles I also bring into my corporate work. Sometimes I name them slightly differently. I always try to meet my clients where they are and use the language that's most accessible to understand the concepts. But I thought I'd like to make this a little bit more concrete. And one of the things that occurred to me was that I have this brand around the pajamas, and I know that this is called the Pajama Podcast, and if you visit me online, you'll see my materials. I'm very often wearing my pajamas in the visual imagery that we use. I do spend a lot of time in my pajamas. For me, this had to do with a kind of dream that I had about my life of enjoying a certain amount of ease. I decided to go into home-based business over 20 years ago now. My business celebrated its 20th anniversary last year, and I actually started going into home-based business before that. And at that time, it really wasn't common. It was a little bit edgy to do it. And certainly there was a way that you weren't really taken totally seriously in business, or at least that was the perception. I think I might have talked about this on a previous episode as well a little bit. But I kind of had this dream, and the dream was, what if I could do a business that I loved? I could be at home, which I love. So many of you know much of my theme, the whole theme of the program, Everyday Happiness, is about really starting where you are, finding your happiness as close to home as possible, either your metaphoric home or your real home. And so I really had this sense, and I could almost taste it, you know, when I would imagine, gee, what would it be like to be able to get up, be in my pajamas, be in my tea, but still do my work and business, still have an impact in the world, still make a difference. In those days, I was working in the environmental movement, in the recycling industry, And it was a very new thing at the time. I remember back in the day, we were looking for 50% by the year 2000. So that tells you how long ago that was that I was in that work. But it was really making a difference. It was important to me. A value I've always held is that I want my time here to make some kind of difference, to have a positive impact. So this was what I was dreaming up, this kind of almost kind of relaxed life where I could kind of be a bit more laid back, not have to suit up every day, be able to really apply my talents and skills of some value in the world. And I know that something I love and always have loved, even since I was a small girl, were pajama days. Every once in a while, we'd be able to have a day at home where we could just hang out in our PJs and watch cartoons and eat cereal, you know, sitting on the floor in the living room. And I loved those kind of days, even from the time I was a small child. And it's always sort of been, what would I call it? It's always been a way that I felt really self-indulgent and somewhat self-nurturing when I would take just a day. It's kind of like almost stepping off of the treadmill, what can be a treadmill, or stepping out of the rat race, so to speak. Lily Tomlin always had a wonderful saying about that. She would say, when you're in the rat race, even if you win, you're still a rat. I always quite like that. So this notion of being in pajamas sort of came to me as part of, like, it was almost like part of a vision that kept me moving forward in the business, even when I was meeting a lot of resistance, both personally or professionally, around my choice to, you know, leave a fairly secure job. It was not the first time I had done so to pursue a dream. I had left a job working, for quite a significant member of the government a few years before to pursue a freelance writing career, which, you know, has always served me really well. I continue to freelance to this day. And subsequent to that, I then took the job at the recycling industry, helping them to promote their programs and services, doing public relations and marketing for them, community engagement and training and education. And after that, you know, it was when I made the transition into Main Street Communications, which has been my work ever since, where I basically kind of get to do what I want when I want in my pajamas if I want, which again was part of the dream. But so I'm trying to weave this up for you, because where I'm trying to go here is I really want to help to explain how many of the consciousness or personal development principles that we talk about on this sort of journey of self-discovery really apply to business, to doing conscious business. And if that's something that you're dreaming of, then I think some of this information will be really useful for you. But the important place where I'm starting here is talking about the dream. So the pajamas for me were related to a certain kind of dream or vision, and I'm trying to make it more manifest. I'm also trying to hold the dream while including it in my brand. I also know it resonates with a certain market that I have. So there's a way that it's very authentic to who I am. It really is a part of a very personal dream, but it also, I know, other people relate to it. And that's an important element in branding around authenticity and around finding your brand essence. So we work in a modality that I've talked about before, where we really, essence is a big piece of one of the levels of reality that we're always working in. And so finding this core essence of your brand has very much to do with who you are as an individual. And this is true even if you're a system, even if you're a corporation or an organization. There is an essence. There is that system itself has an essence that can be discovered and that can be translated and that can be then made concrete, if you will, can be brought into consensus reality so that everyone can see, hear, touch, taste, feel it. And that, to me, we can do, perhaps I'll do a future episode just around branding for businesses. But part of where I'm going here is around this notion of dreaming up what it is that you want. I think one of the most important things that we can do for our businesses is to make time to dream, to give ourselves the opportunity to imagine what could be for ourselves, for our business, for our staff, for our teams, for our products and services. And many businesses don't allow dream time. Not that they don't allow it, that they're just not conscious that it's not present. And so if you're leading a business, either as a solopreneur, your own gig, or you are part of a team, stop and think about how much dream time is there. Are we giving ourselves time to dream? It's actually Warren Buffett who said that one of the things that he does, I don't have the direct quote here, but one of the things that he does every day is give himself time just to think, to sit and think. So we know many workplaces and environments that you would be in professionally. If you, someone came along and saw you sitting at your desk just thinking, you may be, you know, get that raised eyebrow. You know, what are you doing? It looks like you're doing nothing. I actually had this happen at a client on site last week, doing a very complex piece of change management. I have flip charts all over the wall, and we've been doing a lot of work on, in a sense, on dreaming. And I was just sitting, just looking at these flip charts, and really I was pondering how to weave this material into a concrete plan, how to begin to pull the core elements out. And I was actually pondering the layout and writing of it. And one of the leaders of the organization came by and said, oh, so you're just sitting here daydreaming. And so I kind of laughed and I said, well, as a matter of fact, you're right. And what I know about this organization is that it has really needed time to dream. So I'm very happy to kind of hold that dreaming space for them while I'm there. But what I'm pointing you toward is in your life or your business, whatever perspective you're listening to this from, give yourself time to dream. And if you are either in a business or even thinking about starting one or starting another branch or element of your business, I think this notion of dreaming. So that's my question as we go into the next segment for you to ponder. Do we have dream time? What am I dreaming of? What's trying to happen in this business? So we know that something's always trying to happen in business or in life, or in our life that's not about business, the parts of our lives that are not about business. And so one of the tools that I think you really can use in business partly, and this will help you to kind of unfold the dream time. So if you're giving yourself dream time in business, and then you're kind of like, something's trying to happen. I'm not sure what it is. We can't quite get it. Or things sometimes feel like they're coming from a lot of directions. I work with a lot of, particularly micro and small businesses, where they feel like there's so many possibilities. They don't really know how to come in for a landing. And I really support multipreneurship. I believe that we're not necessarily destined to just do one thing or even just do one thing at a time. And I know that flies in the face of a lot of conventional wisdom that talks about, you know, niching down and really narrowing your focus. But I think we really need to pay attention to what's calling us forth. And so in some of my previous episodes where we've, again, been more in the personal development realm, there's a few kind of key principles that I've talked about, and I want to, before I go into those, I just want to talk a little bit about paying attention in another kind of way, which is paying attention to what's calling you forth. There's a way that the world will let us know what is needed. And in business, there's a way that our customers, our clients, the relationships that we have built will tell us what they need. In the evolution of my business, people often say, you've done so many things, you know, how did you manage to do that and still thrive? And part of it is, to me, while they appear different from the outside, there's a continuum in them. What I did in my business was respond to what the market, the people that I was working with, those important relationships, what they were telling me they needed. And either they were telling me they needed it in a very overt way, so it was obvious, they would say, Vicky, we need you to do this, or we need your company to come in and do X and Y, or there was something missing in what I was offering. And I could feel that there was a place we needed to go. I could kind of intuit it. And this, again, you know, following your gut, we know is a very important component, particularly in conscious business, really trusting yourself. So in the evolution of my business, you know, which started essentially, you know, more than 20 years ago as a strategic communications consulting business, communications and marketing, I realized as I was trying to implement communications plans in businesses that, and in organizations, more so in organizations really, that there was a way that the organization wasn't really ready to take on this new way of communicating, a new way of engaging, and even more so we see that now in the digital world, but this is going back some years. Really, just as websites and the internet were coming on is when I was really getting involved, and I wasn't primarily digital at that time. So I remember, you know, working with these communications plans, trying to bring this a new engagement strategy, strategic engagement strategy to these organizations, and recognizing this kind of way that the organization or the system itself wasn't quite ready to embrace the change that would be required. And so I began to work in organizational development. I had been fortunate to have received some training when I worked in the previous organization that I had worked with. They had a lifelong learning policy, and I had had some background in organizational development work anyway. And I started to hone those skills. I started to just tool up. to be ready to offer this work. And so I began doing a lot of team development and organizational development work. What I noticed then was that even though the organizations were flexing their muscle and getting ready to really lean into this new kind of approach, which was new at the time, particularly to the organizations I was working with, I realized that the leadership themselves were on an edge. They were having a difficult time often. In some cases, there were leadership vacuums or role confusion at the leadership level. And at other times, it was just simply that the leaders were other focused. They were focused on something else. They were contracting out part of this function because they were focused on something else, but it really needed the leadership to refocus itself on the organizational change. And so as a result of that, I started to go into leadership development work and working with corporate and organizational leaders. So it was just an evolution to me. So while it appears, as I say, from the outside as, you know, very different perhaps streams, it makes a lot of sense to me in the sense of responding to what was being asked of me. Again, not necessarily overtly. However, I would say in some of the cases with the leadership development work, especially as I started to get into that territory, I remember one of my key clients, you know, really wanting me there at the table to do this work and me saying, you know, that's not my field. It's not what I do. And they would say, yeah, we know, but we want you to do it. And I would say, yes, but I need you to understand this isn't really my area of expertise. And they would say, yeah, we know, but we really want you to do it. And so there's a way that I needed to listen to that. From this work in leadership development, I then developed the private coaching practice or went into personal and business coaching in a more specific way. And that, too, was being called forth. I'm using my own story here because I hope it helps to illustrate an example of the evolution of a business like mine, which is a consultancy essentially, and how being able to respond to what the market was asking for, what I was sensing was needed, and being willing to go there, and sometimes being willing to go there without really feeling fully equipped, trusting that what I needed would come to me, which again is a very strong foundational principle in my work, speaks kind of to where we were in last week's episode when we were talking about who's to say what is good and what is bad. Something would happen and I would think, okay, this isn't the direction I thought we were going in, but let me follow it and see what happens. Or let me go there and hack down the underbrush so others can follow me in some cases. But the moving from leadership development work into coaching, again, was an example where people started to ask me, would you coach me? And my response would be, I'm not a coach. I don't have that training. And people would say, yeah, we know, but would you coach me? And I would say, yes, but I'm not a coach. And they would say, yeah, we know, but would you coach me? So after I've kind of developed this rule of thumb in life and business is if I'm asked about it three times, I need to stop and pay attention. Partly because my experience is that if you don't pay attention to those flirts, those things that are kind of coming at you, those signals, and again, we did an episode on that, if you're not paying attention, they get a little louder and a little stronger, and sometimes they can get more aggressive. So it's almost like that thing of, you know, do I need to wait for a brick to land on my head? So with the coaching practice, it was my decision then, because I was asked that I would then go and get some training. That I felt that would be required, even though I knew I could start the practice without it. And in fact, I did start coaching some clients, and in the leadership development work, I was certainly doing some one-on-one coaching there as well prior to getting my certification and designation. However, I'm a very strong believer, particularly when you start working with people's livelihoods, their dreams, the really the soul work almost that's required when we start getting into working at that kind of level with people, that it's really important to have some good training. And to also experience it. So this is something when we talk about bringing in personal development principles into business, one of the core things that we talk about, and it's just become so, it really is a huge topic now, is about authenticity in business, about being heart-centered, about being real. And so my belief and principle is I'm not really willing to take someone through processes that I actually haven't experienced myself, that I can't really speak to with some authority and some authenticity. It's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine that there are a lot of people in the marketplace who, perhaps position themselves as either experts. They call themselves coaches without having that background. I'm not super hung up on it. I think people can be great at something. They can be born with a talent to do something, and the piece of paper doesn't really make them either that much better or that much more qualified. However, I think when you are starting to mess around in people's psyches, it's important to have some training. And the other thing I do really feel is if you actually don't have the experience yourself, then you're not really in a position to lead someone else through the experience. And so, you know, it's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. You can, you know, wherever you land on that is fair for you, depending on the nature of your business or what you're looking for. I would just, if you're in business looking for someone to offer you sort of business mentorship, guidance, coaching, that kind of thing, really, really check them out thoroughly, because there's a lot of people out there in the market right now hanging out shingles who really don't have the experience, or they themselves are not actually all that successful and haven't really been through the processes that they often want to take people through. So that's just a little word of caution there. And it speaks to another principle, which is the principle of integrity. Can you really stand for what you stand for? Is it really your territory? Or are you just adopting territory that is actually not territory that you're familiar with? So that's another, you know, piece that I would offer you. It would be, you know, really the being real, the authenticity, being fully in your integrity, offering people real value in your work. And this all, to me, kind of ties up this thing around heart-centered business, or leading with your business heart, as I like to call it, putting your business heart forward as a way of really connecting and resonating with the market that you want to work with. So that takes us into our next segment, and I'm going to give you a couple of more tips on how you can use personal development tools to have a conscious business. I want to close this episode, this final segment, in two ways. One, I want to summarize for you what we've talked about and how it weaves together. And the other is that I want to offer you a little exercise that you can do to try to access some of the abstract wisdom that might be trying to find its way to you as you explore the various dimensions of your business. So let me start by summarizing. The key points I've really given you in this podcast around applying consciousness principles or personal development principles to your business are as follows. Make time to dream. Give yourself full permission to dream up what you want and create a vision for your life and business. Pay attention to what's showing up for you, that abstract wisdom that I'm going to give you a tool for in the remaining time. But really pay attention to what's showing up and emerging, and answer the call. Respond to what shows up for you. As you're doing that, trust yourself. Follow your instincts. Trust your nose. Go on the hunt for what's trying to emerge, and trust it when you see it. Be real. Be authentic. Know what you stand for, and create a brand for yourself, for your organization, that represents the integrity of what it is that you stand for in the world and as a brand. If you kind of pay attention to these five areas, you will be on a path toward heart-centered leadership or heart-centered business. But the one that I think that's the most challenging probably is understanding what's coming at us when we're in that dream time, or when we're kind of getting a sense of something. And I often say to people, very often what we want is really close to us. We just need to turn our attention that way. But it's really helpful to have some techniques that we can use to help to unfold what's emerging. So I'm going to offer you this. It's going to take about 5 minutes. You can either do the exercise right now as you're listening, or you can come back to this point in the podcast, which you'll find in the last 5 minutes of the episode, to just participate. So what I really want you to do is just take a few quiet moments and imagine your business as a creature. So close your eyes if that's comfortable for you, or just sit with this. I often suggest you just disengage in some way from the outside stimuli, the visual stimuli, and imagine your business as a creature. Let the creature come to you. It can be real or imaginary. There's no boundaries on what kind of creature this is. And when you have a very strong sense of what kind of creature it is, real or imaginary, just take a moment and make a couple of notes. Now imagine that creature again and answer these questions. How does it move? What is its structure like? What does it need? What are its special qualities? When you have a sense of how it moves, what it needs, and what its special qualities are, take a moment and write a few notes. Really want you to anchor this and really have a sense. And finally, what does it long for? Again, when you have a sense of what it longs for, make a few notes. Good. So, at any time, you can write more about this particular creature. If I haven't given you quite enough time, you can come back and listen to it again and pause and take more time. But that's really as simple as this exercise is. It can be very powerful. So when I did this exercise around my vision for my, or call it bringing down the vision, for my vision for the business, or my trying to access this information, I had the image of a dragon. And so, you know, just to kind of encapture that, you know, the summary of it for me was that a dragon is magnificent in the air. So conceptually, dragons are beautiful. They're magical. They can travel great distances. They soar above. They have a great viewpoint from which to see things. They're incredibly powerful. They have many, many special qualities. However, when I got to the part about what the dragon needs or what this creature needed, really, this dragon is not good on the ground. You know, it can really struggle when it lands and when it's in amongst the villages and the people and so on. When I then took this little exercise and applied it to my business, what I saw was, yes, my business is brilliant. When I was dreaming it up, it's amazing. And the possibilities of what I can do with it are amazing. But on the ground, it needs support. For a dragon to function on the ground when it's not soaring in the air, it really needs all the villagers to get in there and help it, right? It needs to be understood. It's very easily misunderstood, so it needs its intentions need to be made very clear, and it needs a lot of support. And so for me, the big insight, and you know, I'm just giving you a little thumbnail here, the big insights were that I can do all of the things I dream of doing. I can create a certain kind of magic with my work and in the marketplace. I can even take people into unfamiliar territory, introduce them to something, you know, as unusual as a dragon might be. But in order to do that, I need infrastructure. I need support. I need villagers on the ground who can help me so that when I come in for a landing with my work, I've got what I need there to do it. And so this has been an ongoing lesson for me in business, especially as the business has emerged and grown, getting the right team in place, making sure I have the infrastructure and the foundation built in order to make the magic that the dragon represents. It's a very powerful metaphor for my business. So your job, based on your creature, is to really then look at this list of what you came up with in terms of its special qualities, its needs, what its longings are, and translate that over to your business. How does this relate to my business? How can I create for my business what is needed? So this is just a little exercise to access another channel. Again, going back to our principles, when we're paying attention, we're getting information in lots of different ways. And so this is just a way to get information about the business in a non-linear way. I've used this exercise in strategic planning sessions. I've used it with one-on-one clients in coaching. It's very powerful. So if you're inclined, if you are thinking about trying to access some new information about your business to kind of unfold the dream time, I think it's a great one for you to try. That wraps us up for this week. As always, I want to wish you everyday happiness. I want to wish you business success, and I want to wish you plenty of time to answer whatever is calling you forth to make an impact in the world.